ahead, Dave. I missed it.
Okay. Well, we'll be in chapter 6 of Revelation today, and I'll read it first. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come see, come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of a fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given to him, to them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given to them, every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, we know all that's not correct in interpretation, and we'll get to that as we go back. Okay. In this first verse it says again, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals," okay, "and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Well, first of all, the seals, we can go back to Revelation 5 and 5, it's a page back, and it says, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof.'" So we know who's sitting on there, don't we? It's the Christ. It's the Lamb. Now, let me ask you another question. Is it the man Jesus Christ, or was it the many-membered body of Christ?
Many-membered.
The many-membered body. We have to realize that that's us. And this is us. Guess what we're doing? We're opening ourselves up and looking at ourselves. This is a first fruit Son of God. We're looking at ourselves and evaluating ourselves and seeing what we are inside and releasing the things and getting rid of the things that have hindered us from becoming the mature sons of God we are. That's awesome. "But I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder." What is thunder?
The voice of God.
It's the word of God, the voice of God. And so they were hearing the voice of God. And one of the four beasts, that's the perfect God-man, saying, come and see. Now,
Don't you think that voice of thunder at the point where you're first starting to see who you are,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, it is unrecognizable at first. Because there's something going on inside of you when you first start to realize that.
Well, I don't think, let me say it a different way, okay? Maybe I can explain myself a little better. Be my responsibility. I don't think God will speak to you without giving you the ability to hear it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but okay. I think at times when we first started, your mind's hearing God shake you out of this human thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I hear what you're saying, but you're not. I think you're stuck on what you're thinking and not listening to what I'm saying. When he says this, when God speaks to you, he's not going to speak if you don't have the capacity to hear and utilize what he gives you. Especially if you're called. If you're a called first fruit son of God, he knows you can hear him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
See? So I think you can understand. Do you understand totally clearly?
No.
But you can still, you're starting to hear something. It may not be totally clear, but you know there's something there. And that's what brings you on down the path. By knowing there's something more than what I think I've got.
You know it's
I'm not satisfied with what I've got.
You know it's God.
You know it's God. And you just know it. And you have to follow that on. I got a friend sometimes, always says all the time, so, well, I'm satisfied where I'm at. That's kind of dangerous, isn't it? You won't go on until you get out of that saying, I'm satisfied.
No different than saying, I can't.
Same thing. You're limiting yourself. Yeah, this person just thinks because he left the church system that makes everything all right now. You know, and he knows about a little bit about this, a little bit about that, and then he does.
He doesn't need to go any farther.
He thinks he's okay. Well, everybody's going to make it, but what's going to be your reward? You want to sit down and leave half your reward behind? No, I don't. I'll get everything he's got for me.
Well, if you know it's the voice of God here, okay,
mm-hmm.
Speaking to you, and yet you're not really totally understanding all yet, wouldn't that give you to keep going and keep faith and knowing that's God and really desiring what God's got?
You want everything you can get?
What God's got for you, it keeps you going. Pressing into him. We'll just say it was like when Jesus said, follow me, prick me, and not pursue after me. Like a,
do what?
Stomach's growling.
Like a duck going after a June bug. You know what I mean? It keeps us really
whatever happens,
pressing into it.
We're going to keep on going.
If you have a hunger, that's hunger for.
In Ephesians, there's a passage about this. About these seals that I didn't bring out, that passed back through my mind again.
What's that, Ephesians?
Ephesians 1:13 and then 4:30. And it says something about the seals. And it says in 1:13? Yeah, 1:13. Says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we're sealed, okay, when we start to hear, we're sealed, but then he comes along and he opens things up. He unseals us so we can get the full picture of everything. And that's what's happening here. We're being unsealed.
So he wouldn't really be like dumping all this at once because we
couldn't handle it.
Feeding it to us as we go through things so we can handle it.
In Ephesians 4:30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby or by which you are sealed to the day of redemption. This is the day of redemption. He's bringing you out now. That's what this is all about. Again, it's all in symbolism. But anyway, that we got the Word of God and from the four beasts, complete God, man, saying, "Come and see." And when they did, he said, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse." What would a white horse represent? White's righteousness. Horse is a beast, a righteous beast, or the righteous overcomer. Okay, so you begin to see who you really are. From the beginning, we were holy and righteous in God, were we not?
Yeah.
Until Adam did his thing, and then we kind of lost our identity through Adam, and we became just human beings. Mm-hmm. We missed who we really were. We're really sons of God. We missed that.
We did it to ourselves.
Sure we did. Through that Adamic nature. And he that sat on him had a bow. Okay, who sat on this white horse?
Christ.
Well, see, Christ is riding on all of them. But anyway, this is the Christ. And he had a bow. What is that bow?
Covenant.
Which covenant? The old or new?
Yes.
New.
No, this is the new. And a crown. What's a crown speak of?
Authority.
Authority and rulership. Yep. And was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay? Got another verse jotted down here. Matthew 28.
Is that a new job?
Yeah. As far as I know. 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." So, a crown was given him to have this authority and power and rulership. Father gave it to him. When he gave it to him, who else did he give it to?
Me.
There you go. You got to be able to see it. You got to know what you're talking about. If you don't continue in the word, you'll never know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you can't get free. You're still bound up in that Adamic nature, that carnal mind.
Just the opposite of that, and truth shall set you free.
But if you don't know the truth, it won't set you free.
Yeah.
You're still bound up. And he went forth conquering to conquer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the whole thing. This white horse, this righteousness, as it's released, what's its purpose?
To
overcome everything. So if he turns his horse loose first, and its destiny is to conquer, to overcome, what's it going to do?
You know you have power over all things.
Then you can't fail. I've said it for years. You can't fail. If you know what's going on, if you know what God is saying, and you know what he said to you, and know your identity, you can't fail, because what his plans and purposes are must prevail. They cannot fail. If you're part of that purpose, you can't fail. And you only have to do what God has purposed for you. He wouldn't ask you to do something he didn't equip you to do. Pure and simple. Okay. Verse 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out from another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon to take the peace from the earth, and they that should kill, that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Now, what's the red horse?
It's
Adamic nature. It's carnality.
Ego.
Ego, that all goes into carnality.
That's why you just said about the control, the white horse, starting your control, you have power. You better have power over the ego, because it'll rear right up on you.
You have to. And it was power was given to him, the one that sat on the horse, and that's the Christ, okay? To take peace from the earth. Guess what you are?
Earth.
Yeah. See, that red horse, that carnal horse, that Adamic nature, has power to do nothing but stir you up, to keep you off your game. True or false?
Absolutely.
See, that's the only thing. And until you realize that the one that rides on the horse, the Christ, has the power to take that away from you or leave it there, which way you want it.
give it up.
And power is given to him that sat on to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. What's the sword?
Word
the Word of God. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. What's the black horse?
Ignorance.
Ignorance or death. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances, speaking of judgment, in his hand. In John 5, 22 through about 30, I think it is. John.
Is it John
5?
Oh, 5.
Yeah. 22. Come on, them pages. 5:22. It says, the Father judges no man, but has committed or given judgment or decisions to the Son. Okay? He's given all these things to the Son. In order that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father, which has sent him. Now, we'll read a little bit more. Verily I say to you, he that hears my word and believes into him that sent me has everlasting or age-abiding life and shall not come unto condemnation or judgment, but is passed or changed from death to life. Verily I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Do you think he's talking about dead people in the grave? Because as the Father has life in himself, also has he given the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment or decisions also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, even the dead ones that's going to come out, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done bad to the resurrection of judgment. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So we talk about this one that got all this power. We know who it is. He's the one that's making all those decisions. Okay. We're at verse 6. Mm-hmm. And I heard a voice in the mist. Right? Heard a voice in the mist of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat. Let me stop here a minute. I heard a voice in the mist of the four beasts. What is the four beasts again?
The perfect God-man.
The complete or perfect God-man. So what voice do you think would be heard in the midst of them?
Christ.
It's the Holy Spirit speaking, which is the Spirit of God, right?
Christ.
Yep. He heard him say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now we got to find out what's going on here. A measure, whatever that might be, of wheat. Wheat represents something in the Old Testament.
It says a quart.
Okay. It doesn't make any difference what the measurement is. I don't know where they got that at. But
wheat, the word?
Well, the wheat represents the Passover Pentecost experience here. The Passover and Pentecost, barley, wheat and barley was the Passover experience. One for one, one for the other one.
First and second day.
So he's talking about the first two, and the both of them was the same price. Okay?
Whatever phase you're going on.
Whatever, I mean, either one of those first two covenants that you're walking in, whether Passover or Pentecost, it's the same cost. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. And the oil speaks of what?
anointing.
The anointing. And the wine speaks of what?
Revelation.
The revelation of the word. So see that you don't hurt it. Now, do you really believe that you could harm the word of God?
No.
No. The word of God, the truth of God cannot be destroyed.
Can't
truth,
get away from it either.
There's no way to harm that thing. But yet people believe that you can, like all these mistranslations and stuff, you know, and people argue and fuss over it, and there's no arguing about the truth. It's just the truth. And, you know, we don't write it. We don't change it. We just say that's what the language says it is, so that's what it is. But there's so many people that change the meaning. Just like I heard a man this morning talking about, what was he talking about? And we got this flash through on there on the screen. And
I don't know. I was in your business.
He said something about if you don't get in here and do what you've got to do, you're going to be spending your eternity in hell, and it's your responsibility to get out there and get everybody on the right path, or you'll be held responsible for them that's going to hell. Where did he get anything like that? See? He heard somebody say something, and they just added to it over the centuries and just keep adding and adding and adding. There's nothing there that says you have to change anything. The price has already been paid.
You have enough responsibility changing yourself.
That's enough. If you can do that, you can't even change yourself. Only thing you can do is submit to the truth of God, and that truth will change you. It'll set you free when you know the truth. It's not you doing it. It's the truth that's changing you because you've seen the truth. And actually, it's God giving you the ability to do it. So, can't take any credit for anything. It's up to Him. Okay, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Actually, the Concordant Literal says it's a green horse, a greenish horse. And actually, the language kind of says something greenish, too. And his name that set on him, and that word name is the onoma, the nature and character of that one, was death and hell followed. Right? So, the word death right there is what? Death represents what? Carnal mind.
Carnal mind.
And hell is literally Hades, which is the grave. Okay. So the carnal mind and the grave followed or accompanied him, and power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with words, and with hunger, and with death, with carnality, and with the beasts of the earth. That's beasts that live. What beast could that be?
Man.
That being inside of us.
Carnal mind.
It's just the carnal mind. All kinds of creations that
flesh.
That we think of. All the things that we think that are not truth. The greatest, I guess the greatest thing I can see in humanity is the reason we have problems is because we fail to search to find the truth. You know, most of the world does not search to find the truth. They'll take somebody's word for it. I've said thousands and thousands of times, don't take my word for it. You go see for yourself. I can tell you the best I can tell you, but I could make a mistake and slip a word the wrong way and mean something different and not even realize I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally. But you should be checking me, and if I say something wrong, you should say, hey, you missed this one. Okay? No problem there. If I catch me in one, tell me. But that's what I'm saying. The whole world is bad. And that's exactly where those people get that thing about the rapture and hell and death and demons and all this stuff that they've come up with, these scary, spooky stories about the book of Revelation. It's not they don't realize it's the responsibility of you getting yourself in order to be that son of God he wants you to be. They don't even know what it is. They've made these things to tell you, like when I first started going to church, a man's church, guess what? They told me, you're not even supposed to read that book. Well, I said, excuse me, why did they put it in there? And it's in English. They should have left it in some foreign language, and then I couldn't have seen it. But now I've seen it.
It wasn't a foreign language to them.
It was to them, but to me it was. It was English, and I was fascinated by it. And I read all kinds of commentaries that didn't make any sense. And they just didn't make sense. There was pieces that might have got close, you know, made me think about it, but I just couldn't understand it. So I just had to keep driving and driving and driving until finally I got to the place where I could understand it. Somewhat. I still don't know everything. Okay, where did I leave off? Starting with 9.
That pale horse.
Yeah.
It's saying the greenish. It's it's saying it's like a
partial life.
Yeah, it's like giving you the impression of life in this, but it's not really life. It's
absolutely.
The rest of the sin is death, and you know, it's the carnal mind and the grave. You know.
Yeah. We're going to church. We're doing our thing. It's Easter. We're going to sunrise service, and we had Easter egg hunts, and so you know.
Bought a new outfit.
And bought a new hat. Got me a new hat. Got to be ready, huh? But that's what they believe. And they think if they believe it, that makes it true. And God would have so many heads. There ain't nothing. They talked about 10-headed monsters in the book of Revelation. You know what? God would have to have billions of heads to keep up with all the thoughts that people believe. If that made it all true. Just didn't work. Verse 9 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Now, he saw people under the altar that were slain or sacrificed, it should say, for the through the word of God and through the testimony which they hold, not past tense, but presently. Okay? The word is hold, not held. And they cried with a loud voice. Now, when someone's dead, do they talk?
No.
So you think maybe he was talking about something spiritual here, huh? Not talking about literally dead people that were sacrificed, but they sacrificed their mind, their human thinking process for the mind of Christ. Would that maybe be closer?
Yeah.
And they cried with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true or truthful, dost thou not judge and not avenge, but vindicate," okay? "Vindicate our blood from them," or the ones that permanently dwell on the earth. That's the dust and the sand, correct? They're not stars. Revelation 13 talks about the stars that fell to the earth. And Revelation 12 and 12, "Woe to them, the inhabitants of the earth." I missed something and I just saw it. My eyes scanned back over verse 9. And I said, "I saw the up under the altar the souls." What? Tell me something about that soul.
Mistranslated.
Yeah, but what should it be?
Spirits.
Absolutely. Absolutely spirits. See, if you read this word, it's the word psuche, 5590. And some people say, "Well, that's soul." No, it isn't. If you read that, have you got that translation up here? Can you bring it up right there?
Yeah, it's up there now.
Okay. It says, by implication, spirit. It's implied to be the spirit. Abstractly or concretely, the animal sentiment, principle only, thus distinguished on the one hand from 4151, which is the rational soul. And that's the other word.
Pneuma? No.
Yeah, pneuma. See? And pneuma is the rational soul. And this one, they're saying psuche is the soul, but this is the spirit. They've got them turned around. So it just gets messed up. I'm glad you had that up there so we could see that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to half quote it. Okay? Huh? Oh, did you have it? Okay.
That's all right. That's no problem.
Yeah. As long as we got it, right?
We witnessed it.
There you go. OK, Okay, and it says, and white robes were given to every one of them. Literally, it's robes of righteousness, okay? And it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season. The two words here for little season is milliken chronos, or a short space of time. They should rest yet for a short space of time until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So it's saying, don't get in a hurry. You know, if you've already been beheaded for Christ, that's fine. Just don't complain. Just wait till everybody else is ready. When they're all ready, we'll know about it, won't we? And what does it say in Hebrews 13? That just kicked. Come on, fingers. Out in my brain now where I was at. Back and see where I was reading.
You're reading 11.
Yeah.
Maybe, oh, it's 11. No wonder it didn't look right. It's 11. It's the end of chapter 11. And, okay. It says, verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, in order that they without us should not be made perfect. That's what's going on here. Wait. Wait on the rest of them to get through their process. We'll all get it together. And verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. Mm-hmm. The earthquakes between our ears were made from the dust of the earth. Look at that big blue jay.
I saw him out there. He's beautiful.
Yeah, he is. This great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood.
My world just changed whenever I got sick still. Things just didn't look the way they used to.
Yeah, I guarantee you, it was all different.
Pop like that jet commercial. Once when their heads pop open.
Yeah. Got their mind blowed. But that great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth. What does black speak of?
Death
or ignorance, as sackcloth, that speaks of a type of humility, and hair as a covering, right? I'm trying to read my own. Okay. I was mixed up in my spacing. Having a little trouble there picking up with my glasses. Okay. Six speaks of hair. What did I say hair was?
Covering.
It's a covering. So it says a woman gets her hair given to her for it's a covering. And the moon. What's the moon? The moon is literally a reflector of light. It's not light. And that would be the church of man today. They're reflecting a light. Kind of greenish.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of greenish.
If we internalize this, what I thought was light, what I thought was my light.
Absolutely.
I was awakened to what the true light was. What I thought was my light is
wasn't
not there.
What's not there? As blood. And what does blood remember? Death, right?
It can be life or death.
It can be life or death. But in this case, that false light is death. And the stars, what do the stars represent? The overcomers, the son, the seed of Abraham. Remember the 12 stars that Jacob had his vision and pointed them out to the sun, moon, and stars, what they were. There's your meaning of those things right there, the law of first mentions. And the stars fell into the earth, even as a fig tree. A fig tree, what does it speak of?
In my old days, it was the church.
But it's a religious thinking,
right.
The church thinking.
Some of my notes I got in this, I'm like, whoa, yeah. All changed.
It's the religious thinking within us, because this whole thing is internal.
Yeah, if it's like a fig tree, it really wasn't giving off good fruit.
It wasn't really a tree either. even as a fig tree casts her, see, it's talking about the female side, the soulish side, untimely figs when she is shaken by mighty wind. But what's the speaking of the untimely fruit, the untimely things? It's unripe. It's out of season. See, you can't have apples falling from the tree today, can you? Because they're not even there yet. It's wrong season.
Well, you know,
but even if there were apples hanging on the tree and they haven't got to maturity yet, that's out of season. It's unripe.
If we follow the moon phases, like we know that there's moon phases, and that moon, like the moon that we saw that was an untimely light, that's why that tree's not real, because it's not coming through a moon, true moon phase
from the truth.
Right. So it's, everything's false out of it.
An illusion. You're right. And it was, this tree was shaken by what?
Mighty winds.
I wonder what that might be.
Spirit.
Holy Spirit, sure. And looky there. And the heaven departed as a scroll. Now, what do you think it's saying?
My mind was open.
Okay. But what heaven do you think it was? The third heaven. There's the first, second, third heaven. But the third heaven being the highest realm, like the third.
Well, we had already went through the Passover and Pentecost over here in the other part.
This is the tabernacles. And it opened it, and this is your mind opening up, as when a scroll was rolled together, and every mountain and as every government and every kingdom and every island, every individual were moved or stirred out of from out of their places. So everything that was within us, every thought process, every kingdom that we had within ourselves, thinking this is my kingdom and I'm right about this and you're wrong about that, and all these things, and every individual thought that's isolated, and but we think is right, he's going to take care of all of them, and he's going to make them out, move them out, or stir them out of their comfortable spot. And you got to admit, when God starts dealing with you, it ain't comfortable.
It feels like your skin's been ripped
off. It ain't comfortable. And that's what he's doing right here. He's telling you, this is the way it's going to happen. See, if the church world was to take these truths and say, look, this isn't bad, this isn't scary, the world's not going to have fall apart because of this great earthquake in verse 12. This is about your thinking, the way, the wrong thinking you have is going, the earthquake's going to shake the earth, not the spirit. And he's going to get rid of all this junk. And guess what? The people would find out, well, there ain't nothing to be afraid of. God loves us. And then the church wouldn't make any money, and they'd say, oh, God, we're going to have to close. We're going to have to go back telling lies again to get people to come in. It's sad, but that's just the way it is.
So God is changing our raw thinking.
That's all this is. He's showing you how the process of going through it is. He has to deal with one thing at a time.
If you're the perfect God man, the God is not showing it. You are being shaped.
Well, your God.
Yeah. This God.
The God, the God is within you.
Didn't I say you were gods? Did I not tell you you were gods?
Yeah.
He's done.
God in
us. He's not doing anything. It's left up to the God he deposited in us to take over and do what's got to be done. But we've got to submit to the Spirit of God before we can do it. Not submitting to a group or an organization or a church name or any other denomination. It's got nothing to do with it. But of course, they think we're crazy, and that's okay. Like he said, you got to wait on them in verse 10, right? The ones that were under the altar that already sacrificed. Just wait. We'll get our turn. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains... Actually, it says the colonels and the mighty men and every bond man, that's every slave, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, in the dens, what is the den?
That's
a cave.
It's a cave. Mm-hmm. See? So it's caves in our own thinking, big holes in our thinking that we go into and think we're right and protect ourselves, and we protect that type of thinking. That's all it is. It's what's going on in our minds. So if we watch that and realize that every bit of it's got to go, and it's in the rocks of the mountains or the kingdoms of the earth. Okay. Everybody thinks the rocks is hard and it's stiff and it can protect you all around you. But he's saying, it's all got to go. That thinking that I can defend myself, I can't. If God says it's your day, what on earth could stop it? See?
This is all your old thought processes.
It's all your old thought processes. Everything that you're not even aware of. Just like David prayed in the Psalms when he said, Lord, deliver me from my presumptuous sins.
Mm-hmm.
See, the things I'm not even aware of that are offensive to you, I want them out. That's what this is. This whole thing is about just changing our minds into the mind of Christ. And 16, he goes on and says, and said to the mountains and rocks, the world systems, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from not the wrath of the Lamb, but the desire of the Lamb. The Greek word there is orge. It means desire.
That's a big difference.
Tell me about it.
There's where they get the scary part.
Sure, it's scary when you think God's mad at you. But he's not mad. It's his desire. And from the desire of the Lamb is to reconcile the whole world. That's what he was sent here to do. And he said, my desire is to do the will of the Father. Right?
He did it. We just didn't believe it.
Absolutely. And verse 17 goes on and says, because the great day of his, not wrath, same word, orge, for this great day of his desire is come. When?
Yeah.
Now, right now. And who not shall be, that's futuristic, who is able to stand. The word should be is. It's a whole lot different when you see what it really says in here. It's not scary. It's not spooky.
Well, if you think about it, when we've talked about the fear, the acrostics, the things that appear real, your mind is a magnificent creator.
Absolutely. He called us creators.
Mm-hmm.
And cherubim do a lot of it.
Well, like in that one thing about the kings of the earth and their noblemen, like we always talk about the little thoughts that go off every which way.
Mm-hmm.
That fig tree that he was talking about, that one that we thought was a tree, that's it. All those little things that
branches,
come off of there.
Little branches.
All those little thought processes are like just crawl all over the place, just create more and more and more.
Just like the devil and his angels, the carnal mind and his messengers is the thoughts going through it. You know, there's so many different ways that you can analyze it, just like you did, and see that how it's tied together. And that's exactly what it is. There's only one message in the whole book. We talked about that in the past. But you know, there's hundreds of ways of expressing it to us. And the more we understand about these different ways of expressing, the more we understand the views from other people's view as well as our own.
Well, can you think of times that you've been just idle by yourself? And we know the idle mind, what happens.
Well, that's a killer.
And exactly. Yeah. And just what you said, it is a killer. You can sit and ponder on something, and before you know it, you feel yourself cowering down, lower and lower and lower, going into a depressed state. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. And someone can even interject something in you, and you've got that so internalized and creating all these negative thoughts that someone interjecting to you can even not get you out of that,
no,
that mess that you've got yourself into.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yep.
Yes, and I
did. You've been there yourself.
I didn't say I hadn't. I'm not now.
I still get there sometimes, but I'm able to get out of it a little quicker.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying.
That's the progression of it.
But we've seen
It's the way that it happens. You don't get it all at once. Nobody does.
I mean, we do it ourselves, but when you observe someone that has got themselves in such a state, and you're like,
oh my
they
gosh,
are beside themselves. Literally.
And they don't even know they're in that mess.
No.
They have no clue. No clue.
I can't bend over. I might break my back. Yeah. I can't walk on my
Jesse, you got a bug on your foot.